Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Ralphie Parker, William Buddy Hobbs, Joey Devine, Zuzu Bailey, Hans Gruber, Sean Keane, Harold Boyme and Marvin Merchants, the Wet Bandits, Cindy Lou Who, she's no more than two. Patreons, Neil Bean, thank you, Neil. Adam Pike, thank you, Adam. Jackson Kim Murphy, thank you, Jackson. Special guest, Caitlin Gill. Musical guest, the little drummer boy. And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And we are back with a brand new episode. I am dying of whatever disease Jacob Marley died of.
Syphilis.
Yeah. Oh, no. that voice you hear right there is my co-host, my Tiny Tim, if you will, Sean Keane. And the voice you hear laughing is, of course, our annual Christmas guest, comedian, t-shirt merchant, Caitlin Gill.
Caitlin, these are screwed! Yeah.
Caitlin is, of course, here to play proxy for all the non-NBA fans that you're going to have to be around this Christmas while they play a million basketball games. But before we get to
Believe it or not, I know less about basketball this year than I did last year.
Even though she's on every year and we explain, it's like the same eight teams every year. That's something we didn't really understand when we created this, that we would just be explaining to Caitlin who Giannis Antetokounmpo is for 10 straight years. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been potting, been performing.
Talking to AJ Pierzynski.
I talked to AJ Pierzynski. He was not thrilled with me, but he was a good, fine host. And then I made him talk about the 2002 A's, and he kept talking about how Moneyball ends before his team defeats them, thanks to him hitting a home run off the Oakland A's terrible closer. And he had some words for Arthaus' decision not to start off the series with a left-handed pitcher against the Minnesota Twins, and they're almost exclusively left-handed hitting lineup.
Yeah.
And then not bringing in a left-handed pitcher to face David Ortiz in the ninth inning of the crucial game. And I got to say, good points, AJ.
My counterpoint would be Mark Ellis does hit a two-run home run after that. So if Billy Koch did not give up the second home run he gave up, the A's would have won the game.
that's what he was saying. He's like, he thought Art Howe gave up. There was a lefty in the bullpen, and he was like, this guy David Ortiz is a bum. And then he played for 15 more seasons.
He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay.
In the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Caitlin, how are you doing? You are the only person we know who lives in the desert nomad land style now.
Yes. I'm a little Mad Max out here.
Yeah.
I have one other friend in the desert now.
Mm-hmm. It's where they're coming. That's me in 29 Palms. There's a few of us out here. There are stickers all over town that say, go back to LA, reminding us that we are unwelcome. And that's fine. That's justified.
You're not really from LA, so you're kind of like,
LA if you've been to LA and you come here, you are from LA.
that makes sense.
And I can say I remain the harbinger of doom, as everywhere I arrive gentrifies shortly thereafter. And the Shake Shack font and the horizontal fences are everywhere. They have come in the wake behind me. So, sorry, the desert is going to look like Silver Lake sooner rather than later. All those pencil cactus have to come home. So they're migrating up the 10, traveling east. It's beautiful and fun out here. Come see me. I give star tours in the desert. And I yell about things on podcasts and occasionally make t-shirts. It's a good life.
This is a star tours where you don't have to visiting
I yell about space now. I used to do just more generalized yelling as a stand-up comedian, but these days I've specialized and now yell almost exclusively about space, so that's been fun.
We love space.
It's much more expensive to see me now, so it turns out people are a lot more interested to hear me yell about space than to hear me yell about generalized thoughts or my dad's opinion on his washer and dryer, but you know, we learn.
Well, Caitlin, we have you on. We have you on every year because shockingly,
because every year I don't know anything about basketball.
Exactly.
But that's a lot of Christmas Day viewers.
Yes.
Because you're with your family, basketball's on, someone's really into it. And if you want it to be more than the Netflix animated Fire Log, which I was displaying on my own TV while talking to AJ Persinski today, you can get a little bit of context into the storylines. You don't need to, we're not X's and O's. We're storytellers. We're myth makers. We're carolers of the NBA Christmas Day.
Although I should say that this year is the second year now where the NFL has decided to play games on Christmas. Which sort of breaks the NBA, I would say, is very careful because they're afraid of the NFL doing so much better ratings that they often will not play games when there are big NFL games on.
So the
NBA, don't do that. Don't leave me with the NFL family.
Yeah.
If I'm picking a sports side of the family, it's basketball every time. That's so this has become more important now more than ever, gentlemen. You need allies, basketball fans, because your football, you know who they are. They're the loudest and their food on the side of their mouth. And they're going to yell about wanting to watch football through that food. So I and the rest
all
of
their,
your
all their rowdy friends
family,
are coming over for Christmas.
I just got a shudder. I physically felt that in my body. That hit my somatic nerve. That was rough. Oh, I could hear it. Oof. You just dropped me into a Buffalo Wild Wings against my will, and I need some prep. I'm not even anti. I just want to be ready. You know, I need to prepare myself.
I witnessed some. I watched some football in a bar recently, which is not normally what I do. I'm more of a hermit who sits there and looks at my phone and the game at the exact same time. It doesn't talk to anybody, but. I started noticing because there were some people who were having a good time, inebriated. They came to the place where you do that, but it made me think of how footballs the TV broadcast is sort of uniquely calibrated to people who are watching drunk.
Uh-huh.
Because the play happens, and then they show you the play again, and then they show it to you slowly in uh-huh. slow motion. And if you're wondering where the first down is, they've spent, like, this costs like hundreds of thousands of dollars to create a yellow line uh-huh. that shows you where the first down is, even though there are gigantic orange poles uh-huh. standing there as well. And yeah, and then, like, for a while, sometimes they'll just throw a flag because they want to argue about something they saw on TV, and then you get to also argue about something you saw yeah. on TV. It's pretty good. And they always try to remind you you're playing football. They're always saying, mm-hmm. this is a good football player. When you have a football team and you need to win a football game, this is the kind of football player you want. You got to give him the football. And people are like, wait. Oh, yes. Okay, that's what we're doing here. Give me some wings. Like,
football's really displaying some people-pleasing behavior that they should discuss with a therapist. Yeah. Because football's its own game. It does not have to appeal to the worst of our uncles. Football's good enough. Yeah. It does not actually have to bow to Steve with 3 DUIs who yells.
One of the strangest things about football to me currently is they have the Sunday Night Football theme song, right? Which originally was sung by Faith Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Are there three nights of the week that have a football theme? I'm sorry, yes, Joey. I'm going to put you back on Faith Hill, but I have to understand that we're ready for some football just all the time now.
Yeah.
Thursday night is on Amazon, so it's a very weird broadcast, and they'll do things like a couple weeks ago, they kept cutting to Green Day, who was going to play a game concert, and they kept announcing that Green Day was going to be playing new songs, which is like, do you want people to turn it off? Like, that's mm-hmm. why are you like, yeah, we Green Day is going to premiere their 2023 singles on this show. Sunday Night Football is now basically what Monday Night Football used to be, where they've got a song and it's the premium event. And then there is Monday Night Football, but it's like not as fancy.
But yeah, the Sunday Night Football song is called Waiting All Day for Sunday Night.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
And it was initially, it's a reworked version of the Joan Jett song, I Hate Myself for Loving You.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you're explaining Taylor Swift or an iPhone to someone.
It kind of is Taylor Swift's career 6 years ago.
You know
what I mean? Like, it's like like this country girl's gonna rock.
Well, yeah. So it
and
initially
now she's a football player.
So initially it was sung by Faith Hill, but then 11 years ago they were like, you know what? We need a new singer for Waiting All Day for Sunday Night. And now it's Carrie Underwood, which is just Faith Hill. Like, they just replaced a blonde lady with another blonde lady.
It was our role as millennials to age into the people uh-huh. who only pay attention to things that happened 20 years ago after we mocked all our elders for doing the same.
This is who we were destined
to become.
The songwriting credits are credited to Carrie Underwood and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Precious.
And when they brought back the theme song, Joan Jett did duet with her. They did change the song a couple years ago, which uh-huh. was something called Oh Sunday Night, which was a reworking of a Carrie Underwood Miranda Lambert debut.
Well, I
and
Carrie Underwood
Pink did it the first year.
Yeah.
But did they kiss?
You'd have to ask Blake Shelton.
And why am I watching
football? The Voice. Oh, wait, he's not on The Voice anymore. They talk about The Voice so much on Sunday Night Football.
They do.
This is a brief non sequitur, but it occurs to me it might be a good tip that if there's anybody in your family like me who just wants people to kiss, encourage them to yell that at the screen when the basketball players are playing.
Uh-huh.
It's very fun. It adds a whole lot at, like, go, 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 and, you know, shoot and defend or whatever are all good uh-huh. cheers. But consider adding kiss into the mix. You'll find a lot of opportunities to use it. It does enhance my viewing of any sporting event. So
you will sometimes see an NBA player kiss another NBA player's head.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's pretty good.
Well, Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson famously used to kiss before they played each other.
Nice. This was the 80s. Yeah, anything in the 80s, went in the yeah. NBA back then.
Well, those boys. Yeah, they had fun.
All right, let's get to the games. So we're going to talk to Caitlin. We're going to explain why. So we're going to give her some fun facts about the game that she can use to maybe be more interested in the game. Sean, what's our first game?
Yeah, we're going to give these in West Pacific Standard Time because it's the best time zone.
Yeah. And
also, it's going to sound crazy when we say how late the late game is on in New York City. 9 a.m., the Milwaukee Bucks are visiting the New York Knicks, who basically always host the first Christmas game because New Yorkers ain't got time for presents. So, like, you could still sell it out at noon on Christmas Day. People already don't like people. They're not really that fond of their families. You can't even fit a family in a New York apartment, so you might as well do it there.
Yeah.
Is that it? Are there tiny Christmas? Is there presents under everybody's seat at the stadium? That's the
no, because their owner,
all their owner sucks.
Their owner has spent all of his money building the Sphere in Las Vegas. Wait, so
oh no, is this the same? Who's the owner? That's the Rock and Roll Man with the band.
No, that's the Knicks owner, James Dolan.
I would call him Americana/Roots Man, but yes, you're correct.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Forgive me. I don't want to.
No.
The paintbrush of rock seems like a bold stroke.
Well, he's up to some new stuff, Caitlin. We'll start with him. Actually, he's as the host of this game. Caitlin, have you been to Las Vegas recently? I know you live in a desert.
I made the mistake of going to downtown overnight on a Tuesday. Yeah. It is sadder than I remember. But I still love you, Vegas.
The Sphere.
Downtown on an off-season Tuesday, though.
Oh, yeah. That's the time. Winter Tuesday.
The Sphere is an event.
Fremont Street.
Oh.
So he built the Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Himself, with his little hands.
I mean, money laundering and fraud, but he's being sued about basically every element of the creation of the Sphere.
Yes,
but that's his pet project, and we're not going to make you listen to him talking to this female robot they
if
have
I
there.
If I could find it, hold on, I've been looking really for it, unsettling. I can't find it. Give me a second.
Anyway, he's
talking to some robots.
He's now
there's a robot in the Sphere. In fact, here I just found it. All right, here we go.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's a robot in the Sphere.
The Sphere
he talks to. Here we go.
So I heard you brought a friend with you.
I did. One of my enchantresses. The would you like to meet Aura?
Hi, Aura.
Hello, Rosanna. I am Aura.
Jim, does Aura hug and kiss too? What is this? Who meets us and greets us when we come inside the Sphere?
I don't know that she's going to hug and kiss you. You're not going to do that, are you, Aura?
If you are searching for someone to partake in physical affection, I am aware of several phone applications that might be able to assist you.
I think that was a hard no.
You did it. Bye, Aura.
Goodbye, Rosanna.
Wave.
Yeah, I like when he yells at the robot to wave at the end there.
He's also suing another NBA team and is like resigned from all his board positions because he thinks the NBA is conspiring against him. He is going to be wearing Kleenex boxes as shoes imminently, I would
say. Also, his band sounds like this.
Your honey, but honey, they can sting you too.
All right.
I can feel the apathy of the studio musicians. Like just in that clip, there's somebody sliding on a guitar, just already spent the paycheck. His car door is already clicking behind him before the song ends.
I think they're really well paid. Like they're on salary, even though I don't think they perform very many shows. Just because he's like, I need you to not leave me. I will give you.
Well, he built a giant bubble. Yeah, he's got some abandonment issues.
So
he trapped a lady robot in a giant bubble.
Yeah, that's. I didn't really think about it that way, but it's even creepier that way. And then Bono beside her occasionally.
So yeah, that's who owns the Knicks. I will say the Knicks team is pretty fun though this year.
Yeah, we'll give you a couple details of the team. Now they have a fun guy named Jalen Brunson, mm-hmm. whose dad was a New York City legend and problematic team employee who's had some harassment complaints over the years.
But his son seems cool.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
The Knicks have also weirdly have four players from Villanova University on the roster right now. And it's just weird. They're like really intentionally collecting them too. They traded for one last year. They cut one and then re-signed him. It's very not accidental. And I think the equivalent is like Harvard University and a Hollywood writing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm feeling it. Yeah.
We're like, why is this all happening? Like, what is the nepotism behind it? And it's not really clear. Mm-hmm. And then
their coach is this maniac named Tom Thibodeau, who literally has said before that he's a single man because he loves and cares about basketball too much.
Mm-hmm. He broke off an engagement because he realized he was married to basketball. He looks like he would play a hard ass basketball coach in a movie set in like 1961.
Yeah, he has like a Brill Cream hair, if that makes sense.
He looks like he drinks the blue stuff they put the combs in.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So
not the Ben Affleck Elon of the alcoholic recovery coach.
No.
He's not even for like the buzz. He's just doing it because he thinks that's what you do. I have a feeling he eats a lot of ham.
There's like a barrel chestedness to him that is he looks like he would be he looks like he would be upset that Pleasantville is turning color. If that makes sense. Meanwhile, the Bucks, who they're playing, play in Milwaukee. They have, of course, one of the best players in basketball, the Greek freak himself, Giannis Antetokounmpo. But this year,
I'm culturally aware of this phenomenon.
Yeah, he's like pretty fun. He did a thing for a while. This is very holiday-esque, where he would go around the country just eating like fair food, getting excited about it.
Yeah, he has one of the greatest tweets of all time about just trying a smoothie for the first time because he's from Greece.
I'm sorry, but am I to presume that the Greeks don't have smoothies?
Well, but he was very poor. He was very poor, too.
Fair enough.
His family's like Sudanese refugees who were living in Athens, I believe.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I did not mean to presume about the experience, but I went straight line to Greece to know smoothies.
How they got there, but he's not really like... He doesn't
Nothing
look
about tasting
like...
the smoothie for the first time as an adult says easy path to that.
Yeah, exactly. Let me read the tweet. I just taste smoothie for the first time. Or no, sorry. I just taste for the first time a smoothie. All caps, man, God bless America, smiley face. he's great. Giannis is great.
He recently had a hilarious dust up.
Yes. This is what we want to explain.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Caitlin, these teams have been in the NBA for nearly 50 years, and the Indiana Pacers and Milwaukee Bucks have never had tension or rivalry in any way. They've played in the playoffs like twice. They've played some close games, and one of the players, a young man on the Pacers, did one of the Bucks stars, Damian Lillard's signature celebration, which is touching his wrist like he's indicating what time it is.
Dame time.
Dame time.
Gotcha.
He did it back to him. And then in their next matchup, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 64 points. And in a hilarious misunderstanding.
That's just a lot of points, yeah.
Wanted to get the game ball after the game and got very agitated and tried to run into the Pacers locker room to get it. Not realizing that like a coach or a security guy from his own team, like immediately, you can see a replay where Giannis is just crossing in front of the guy getting the game ball for him. And it led to almost a fight. And afterwards, he was like, this doesn't feel like the ball I had. And
because there are two game balls.
Right.
And the Pacers wanted one because one of their players scored his first ever NBA points.
But they were mostly confused because they saw the guy from the Bucks pick up the ball for Giannis. So they were like,
and Giannis ran into the locker, like in front of the Pacers locker room and was essentially fighting the entire Pacers team to get this ball that he already had.
And somehow the Pacers general manager, who is just like, you know, a white guy who maybe who watches a lot of basketball, took an elbow in the ribs from a 7-foot man. And like 2 days later, they're like, he's still like coughing a lot.
Yeah, he's not good.
Like he's a civilian regular man, and he ran into Thor. And the other thing that the Bucks have is the Lopez twins,
the weirdest twins in the world.
Yeah, only the twins
in the NBA. Currently playing on the same team. There
how
are
many
the
twins
Martin
are there in the
twins.
NBA?
There are a few.
There's at least two. Buddy and Caleb Martin.
Sean, I forgot to send this to you when we talked about the Pacers dust up. Mm-hmm. But did you see what Brooke Lopez, one of the Lopez twins, was doing while that fight was going on over the game ball?
I do not know. What was he doing?
I'll tell you, according to Gabe Stoltz, as all of this chaos is unfolding, Brooke Lopez is in the Bucks locker room listening to Racing in the Street by Bruce Springsteen.
Is that the least Bruce Springsteen song? Because he's like slowly talking about like car parts and street racing and
anyway, so that's what the Lopez twins are like, and there's two of them.
The other twin, they're both 7 feet tall. The other twin once got in trouble because he was apparently they're both very into Disney. Brooke has a house at Disney World. He got in trouble because apparently he was buying hot Disneyland
accidentally bought hot Disney World merchandise.
You buying that counterfeit Dole Whip?
No, he bought like some animatronic from the from Epcot Center that was stolen, and he didn't realize it.
It was like some figure that used to be in a ride that's not there anymore, and of course the name is like Taffy. It's like Taffy the Owl or something. Oh, and the other thing is that Dame Lillard for the Bucks is an amateur rapper or professional rapper. I don't know.
He's
a
professional rapper, unfortunately.
I want him to. I really hope he puts out a Christmas rap this year because he requested a trade from. He was in Portland for a really long time, and he requested a trade at the beginning of the summer, and it didn't happen until just before the NBA season, and he immediately dropped a song and a video about it.
Like when he got traded, it was like an hour after he got traded. He was like, I went immediately to the studio to make my Goodbye Portland song. And it was very clear he'd recorded it like 8 months before.
All right. So let's move on to game two.
Yeah, game two. Sean, what's game two?
11:30 a.m. in the Mile High City. It is the Golden State Warriors against the defending champion, Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Warriors do last year, Joey?
Not good.
Okay.
I mean, they made the playoffs.
They made the final. They made the the final eight. They made the NBA quarterfinals, basically.
That is a tough standard as a fan when your team is good. That is not considered good. Because that seems pretty good.
Well, so they went out kind of sad. The Lakers really, really killed them in like a way that was like...
Yeah, the final game.
Sad and disconcerting.
The Warriors lost the final series 4-2.
Yeah.
And the Warriors lost both of the close games.
And I would also say this season they're sad. There are lots of reasons to say that. Sean, do you want to explain to Caitlin what's going on with our friend Draymond Green?
So Draymond Green...
It's one of those things where, like, I'm scrolling on my phone and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, sport thing. I'm not quite aware of what you're going to mean. And I'll just see his name and I'm like, I'll ask Joey. Uh-huh. Joey or Sean, what's happening?
Yeah. Sometimes it's like not clear how much contact is allowed in basketball, I think, to a casual fan, but he's been crossing the line. So in the past year, since the Warriors won, the NBA title in 2022. Uh-huh. Draymond had a bit of a rough playoff series. He got ejected from one game in the second round. He was benched at various times during the finals. But then he came back and he punched a teammate in training camp last year. And then in the playoffs this year, he got tangled up with the Sacramento Kings center, who kind of grabbed his ankle as he was running down the court, and Draymond proceeded to stomp on his chest while
on
he was
purpose,
laying on
definitely
his back.
On purpose.
Oh, of course, no, definitely. and he was kicked out of the game and suspended for another game. And then since then, he has he got ejected for he's been ejected from
he was choked he choked a large games. French man in a fight this year for 25 straight seconds.
He swung his arm wildly and just
is this large French man
off?
Go these ahead. Are all in basketball games or
yes,
practice
in
or
basketball
is he just living
games.
Like hitting the,
yeah.
Frenchmen? Okay.
Weirdly, there are two Frenchmen who are 7'2" and taller in the NBA right now, and both of them are stars.
Yeah.
So, it's weird. One of them,
Mon Dieu.
Truly, he's not playing on Christmas. I think that's maybe an oversight, but his name is Victor Wembanyama. He has been reported as 7'4" to 7'6". Uh-huh. He looks impossible.
His body looks like the fish man in Shape of Water.
He went as Slenderman for Halloween.
He went as Slenderman.
Something
for
I
Halloween.
Would have joked about on our show, but. Anyway, and then he's been suspended for 5 games already, and now he has an indefinite NBA suspension.
Draymond
he's supposed
is
to
currently indefinitely suspended until he goes to therapy.
And there's some kind of milestones that they've had, but when they give you a suspension and they say, like, he's in timeout, but timeout is going to last a month, I think.
Yeah,
but he will not be participating.
Is there like just public conjecture, or is it confirmed? Like, what's happening with the poor dude? That doesn't seem like the most well adjusted.
It's weird.
It's
they haven't really done this since last year. They also did this when a player was going on Instagram Live
and posting
club, and he had a gun.
He continually posted himself holding a gun on Instagram Live,
and
they just
time,
kept suspending him.
Yeah, they
like,
gave him.
Please stop posting your gun.
So he got
and
an
he wouldn't.
So he got an indefinite suspension initially. And they said he went to therapy, which appeared to last like a day and a half.
Yeah.
And he ended up missing like 7 games. And then the next time he had a gun on a live stream, he got a 25-game suspension. And he has just returned. So Draymond, they have not even put... I will say, there's an element to this where sometimes Draymond seems like he can't control his emotions, and sometimes it feels like
he's doing them on purpose. Yeah,
he wouldn't mind getting kicked out of a game. Like, he doesn't like how things are going. So, in a way, I think he doesn't like this because he's not getting paid during this suspension.
Yeah.
But
right. Yeah, nobody likes that part.
Decides, you see that you basically see this a lot with baseball managers, not so much players. Where a manager is just frustrated and is kind of like, fuck this. There are beers in my office. You know, like I'm going to go out and curse at this umpire, and I'm going to use language that's bad enough that I will watch the rest of this game on TV and get
it. Now, a thing we should probably point out that was especially weird about some of these Draymond things is, so last year he punched his teammate for no reason in practice, and then it was leaked. And Draymond has become sort of a media darling, and instead of ever apologizing to the guy that he punched in the face, he made a tiny documentary about it on TNT that included and also podcasted about it constantly. And this was one of the clips from that documentary.
If you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
Mm-hmm. It went viral.
That's narrated by somebody's dad who just learned to go viral. So, okay, the rest of the Warriors, you know Steph Curry. I will make an argument that some of the decline on the Warriors is tied to FTX going under because they went real hard on getting crypto sponsors. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
Sorry, I'm back.
So Steph Curry he made a commercial where he's carving an ice sculpture with a chainsaw, and it's a bored ape.
Ooh,
it's rough.
Narrated
by Shaquille O'Neal.
Sick, brah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we also learned this year he's a NIMBY, Caitlin.
Yes, he asked Atherton to not.
But I'm shocked,
build,
though.
Yeah, he asked.
Like condos?
It was low-income housing behind his home. Yeah.
Yeah, and he requested that the city of Atherton, build a giant wall. I would recommend anyone listening to this just gather Atherton housing meeting. And the whole reason they're doing this is that you have to have low income housing somewhere. If you're a city in California, it's like a state mandate.
Uh-huh.
And these rich people in Atherton are just going to these meetings and just screaming about like seceding from the state and suing Gavin Newsom because I guess because there's
teachers
like
and nurses have
apartments.
To, yeah.
And like people anyway. FTX, they had to pull their sponsorship, and Shaquille O'Neal, who narrates the Steph Curry commercial, in fact, was getting sued and managed to dodge
the process server for nearly six months.
Yeah. Even though he had a hip replacement in that time, they still
did he just dress as a billboard? Because that's like life-size accurate.
I don't know, but it's one of my favorite
DJ.
It does feel like he could walk into a store and just stand
game at the end of the year. He couldn't stay away, and he eventually got nailed. So that's bad omens. Draymond Green starting a podcast. Steph Curry getting heavily into cryptocurrency. Those are bad, but he's still very good at basketball.
Steph Curry is very good. The rest of the Warriors are very old. I would. Say
Klay Thompson, charming.
I remember Klay, pandas, etc. Mm-hmm.
Weed enthusiast, recently revitalized. Right. Looked like he was totally done. has bounced back pretty hard this week, and he often attributes his rejuvenation to jumping into San Francisco Bay from his boat, which he sometimes takes to games and just parks kind of wherever. He got in trouble for just parking his boat at any dock he wanted and just being like, I want to play Thompson.
Is mercury a performance enhancing substance?
It could be. They also have we're gonna learn about some NBA Canadians. They have a Canadian whose nickname earlier was Maple Jordan.
Is it racist that my first response was cute?
It's not
sorry,
racist.
Canadian, that's
I guess
rude.
It's...
You're really good athletes. It's just
prejudice,
I guess. It's the better term. I don't know. They're probably also white. Is that racist?
Yeah. No,
I'm really
this,
myself here.
I would
I'm
actually...
so sorry, Rambo Rock.
No,
I
I'll tell
speak
you
for the podcast.
The majority of the NBA Canadians not white, I would say.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say also the
Canadians, you can make three free America jokes specific even to California if you'd like. Go for it. Yeah, you all fair. Have a pass. Yeah.
Yeah. This is their coach has been there for like 10 years. He seems like he's getting older and more sick of it. And you could tell because he complained about how loud the arena music was and called it loud techno music like a club. He apparently has been doing a lot of lawn care.
All right, let's talk about the Nuggets, though.
Okay, their best player and the best player in the NBA right now, right?
Yes, absolutely.
A man named Nikola Jokic. He is seven feet tall. He is from Serbia. The Nuggets drafted him, he was extremely overweight, but made a commitment by downing his last liter of soda, like as he was getting on the plane to America. He after they won the title last year and afterwards there was an interview with him where they asked him if he was excited about the parade.
I have this this audio. Oh, hold on.
Great. Perfect.
You're gonna love this, Caitlin.
I'm curious what you are feeling right now and if you're looking forward to a parade coming up in Denver.
When is parade?
Thursday.
No. I need to go home. Hello. Okay.
That is right. He said, when is parade? I need to go home.
Also, he had won the NBA championship like 30 minutes earlier. And he did loosen up after he got drunk afterwards. And there was hilarious footage of him just like dropping steam. Team staffers into like the therapy pool. So he had fun eventually. But also, when I say he likes horses, I don't want you to think this is the horse racing you're expecting. This is exclusively harness racing where a man stands up with the reins like this. And that was apparently his dream job.
Yeah, he's
he got
obsessed
to be like
with
6'2"
equestrian
and then was just kind
harness
of like,
racing. Yeah, yeah,
not even like riding the horse necessarily. Yeah. The horse dragon cart. So there's never been anyone like him before. And now he's making commercials for hotel.
I also have this audio. Hold on.
You know, Peyton, seats at the hotel pool are a lot like seats in a game. We have VIPs, we have fair weather fans, and the bench.
Well, who sits on the bench?
Not me.
He's with a bench player. That's a big deal.
You sure this is cool?
Oh, this is the
little guy.
Relax.
We don't need to do both of them. Yeah, all right, here we go.
Yeah, that one doesn't work because he is walking with a horse.
He has a big horse. anyway, this is the man who is the best player in the NBA by far.
He does not have like visible muscle tone.
No.
And his skin's very pale, so he always looks like he's all scratched
and he
up.
He cannot jump. He's like, and he's slow. He's just like a basketball genius at a job that he kind of hates.
Yeah, and he's incredibly good. Yeah, they asked him about like how he felt after the championship, and he was like, "Shorter summer, not so good." Like, you know, he can't jump, but he's amazing at rebounding. He's just a basketball genius, and he might retire early just because he's homesick for Sombor, Serbia.
Yeah,
which you know what? Fair enough.
Go ahead.
I'm about it. I honestly, a life well lived through lateral productivity. You want to be an equestrian harness racer and instead you're an NBA superstar? Yeah. Okay. I mean, it doesn't change your dream, but it's... I mean, sometimes I find my keys when I'm looking for my glasses. We all put our pants on one short... one skirt leg at a time.
Yeah, They didn't lose a lot of games in the playoffs, so they ended up with some extra days off. And one time he came back and he was like definitely sunburned, but in the way that you'd see like a kid be sunburned. Mm-hmm. Where it's like the end of his nose and just like a part of his shoulders, and he was like, "It looks like long."
You know what? I actually have to go back to the Lopez's real quick, the Lopez twins, because I forgot I had a drop that Caitlin will very much enjoy. Last year,
if that can top buying a hot Disney animatronic, I'm
yes,
on board.
It can. So last year the twins were not on the same team. And they were mic'd up when they were playing each other, and this is what one of them said.
He's an actor, I know, he was in West Side Story. What? He was Officer Krupke.
That's right. He was complaining to the ref that he's pretend that his brother was an actor who played a lot Officer Krupke in West Side Story, and that's why he didn't foul him.
And Heather, yeah, they both played in New York City. One of them was in Brooklyn, and one of them was on the Knicks. But they said they didn't live together because their cats
don't get along. Anyway.
Okay. Then the other nuggets.
A guy named Jamal Murray. He's also Canadian.
He's also like a big trash talker. There are two enormous trash talkers in the NBA who are also Canadian now. That is exciting. Feels out of character a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know, you have to push back against the stereotype. If you're going to be perceived as like maple syrup nice, you really got to, you got to hot honey it.
Now they've, they also have a young man named Michael Porter Jr. Who just you always hear like rumors that he's from a weird Trumper family and anti-vaxxers, but it's not clear exactly.
I was going to say his name doesn't sound like it just sounds like words that sound like name pressed into a log.
But he was injured a lot his rookie year. He has a bad back, and he reportedly during that summer would play NBA 2K games against just random people that
for money
on the internet at like a kind of a normal. And it became a scandal because he some kid wagered his like graduation Air Jordans.
And he would not
Michael
give
Porter
them
was
back.
Like, well, was I like, want them, but I can't even wear them.
I can't even wear them because I'm on Puma won't let me wear Jordans, but I'm going to keep them anyway.
And he was rehabbing his back, so one guy lost the game and then just ran out of the apartment and didn't give him any money.
Yeah.
So he's a video game hustler. And then they also have a forward named Aaron Gordon. He's had some bizarre hairstyles over the years. How would you describe his hair right now, Joey?
I don't know.
There's some parts of it where I'm like, is this kind of like if how Rick James would do his hair if he was an NBA player?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
It used to be really short. He's had weird braids. Anyway, cornrows, headbands. He loves accessories.
Yeah. He's really accessory man.
Yeah. And he was also the antagonist in the Kyrie Irving, Shaquille O'Neal film, Uncle Drew. One of the only feature films based on a Pepsi Max commercial. Maybe the only one. He also is he's a really good dunker, but he has lost the NBA dunk contest 3 times. And twice was in like weird extended dunk offs at the end.
Well, then one was a drone's fault. He tried to do a dunk with a drone and the drone wasn't working so well.
Well, he also had to work the drone controls and then catch. So it was just not a practical dunk. In the last time, there was some sketchy judging at the end. Mm-hmm. And then he wears number 50 because that's a perfect score in the dunk contest.
That's the highest score you can get in the dunk contest.
And then he recorded a sad rap song about it too, where he's drinking red wine and rapping and watching dunk highlights basically.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, weird guy.
I love that.
Another weird guy with the Nuggets is their coach, Mike Malone, who's the most New York man alive. He's a small, shaved-haired, bald man, bald white man who looks
He's actually not bald. So
I forgot about this.
This is a key moment. his hair was so short all the time. Like his dad was in the military, even though his dad was a basketball coach in the NBA. Yeah. So he was the Warriors coach, and I thought he was bald. And then he coached the Nuggets for a couple of years. And then during the pandemic, he didn't get a haircut for 5 months.
Uh-huh. He came back. He has a glorious full head of hair. He was just shaving it bald.
Just like, it's too much work. I got to think about plays.
But I have often described his speaking voice and whole vibe as he seems like he would be singing bass in around a flaming garbage can with two other guys in 1979 in an alleyway.
Sylvester Stallone's brother would be like, hey, how's the team going? That was a practice. Okay, so these two teams have a bit of a rivalry. They met in the playoffs in 2022, and the Warriors won, but the Nuggets had some injuries. So the Nuggets are kind of the team to beat, but also the Warriors, because they've won a lot, are kind of, I don't know, they're rivals. Their games are always close. And they'll be playing at altitude, which will give the Warriors an excuse to lose by 35. Also, Draymond Green is one guy who can kind of slow down Jokic a little bit. No one can really stop him, but he can kind of bother him. And he won't be playing. And the Warriors are a very small team this year. But in an innovative roster building choice, they're also very slow.
Mm-hmm. So, anytime you can be small and slow. All right, let's move on to our next game. We're 45 minutes in, and we've done two games.
Boston Celtics at Los Angeles Lakers.
That's right. It's the Celtics versus Lakers, which, if you are familiar with the HBO show Winning Time, you of course know that the Boston Celtics win every time they play the Los Angeles Lakers, right, Sean? That's how it works.
That's how that show ended. They've met in the NBA Finals 12 times, and that started, I think, in the early 60s. And the Lakers didn't win any of them until 1985, which is 1 year after the canceled Los Angeles Lakers HBO series ends. So, it ends with the Lakers going home sad. All right. They've never met on a Christmas Day Netflix before. Moves. I didn't look that up. I trusted podcaster Bill Simmons about that.
That can't be true. There's no way that's true.
Anyway, 2 p.m. I think they often don't want the teams to like have to travel cross country on Christmas. Maybe I don't know. It seems like they would have done it. They didn't used to have 5 Christmas games. That's kind of a last 10 years thing. I would say 2 p.m. is a pretty sweet Christmas afternoon game time for Los Angeles, but this will hurt some Hollywood marriages. Leonardo DiCaprio stays single, so he can still go to the Lakers games on Christmas.
Yeah, that's why.
The Lakers, you know LeBron James, right?
Who?
Star of
Space Jam 2, A New Legacy. Being.
Yeah, from Trainwreck. From Amy Schumer's Trainwreck,
from the series Million Dollar Mile, the CBS reality game show that was canceled after 2 episodes, I believe. I don't know if Chris Hardwick still hosts his show,
The Wall. We looked it up. He does.
Plinko the video game.
Anyway, back to
he's
LeBron.
About to turn 39, and he's still really good, which says a lot for. Hollywood does let a man age.
That's
if he was a WNBA player, he would have been gone 10 years ago. The producers wouldn't stand for it. They also have Anthony Davis, who is known as the brow because he has a unibrow. And
that's my guy.
In, he's still sticking with that nickname.
What else can you do?
The Celtics.
The devotion he's showing to basketball by not devoting the daily time it takes to actually remove a center eyebrow. I can tell you from deep personal experience that it the level of determination and grit it takes to actually yoink out every hair that lives between your eyes, it's more than people expect. If you're somebody that just has 4 or 5 to manage, well, good on you. But if your entire eyebrow actually does grow across your face and it's not visibly obvious to others, it's because you spent time on it that day. It's long been known that I can't park in a sunny parking space without losing 20 minutes to a pair of tweezers. This is just the life I live. I'm proud of him for not. Be bold. Be proud.
Another interesting guy on the Lakers is they have a man named Austin Reeves, who is like Cletus the slack-jawed yokel, essentially. He's from that kind of town, but is really good at basketball for some reason. He definitely has a farmer tan.
He had one all year last year, which is really impressive considering he lives in Los Angeles and has lived there for, this is like year four for Los Angeles, I believe. He's delightful. He also it's like kind of an act, but it's kind of not an act.
Yeah.
There was some rumor about him going on a date with Taylor Swift, and he said afterwards, it's like, all my friends know I don't go to bars. Like, how would I ever meet Taylor Swift? Like, she's not at my house or the gym. Or the John Deere factory or whatever he is. Okay, the Celtics have switched up their team. They now have two guys with crew cuts. Two white guys with crew cuts. They look like they cut each other's hair. They got rid of the charismatic black point guard who dyed his hair green for a full year and a half out of team loyalty. And they still traded him. Their star player is named Jason Tatum. And I would say the most notable thing about him is that he's a very intense Kobe Bryant fan.
Wait, no, there's another notable thing that Caitlin will be very interested in. But
tell Caitlin
about his Kobe fandom, which is, take in mind, Caitlin, the Celtics and the Lakers, that's the greatest rivalry in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Celtics fans hate the Lakers. So, Sean, what does Jason Tatum do all the time?
He'll like wear the same outfits Kobe wore and send texts to Kobe Bryant, like asking him for good luck in games, even though Kobe has almost been dead for 4 years at this point.
In the NBA Finals, he was wearing Kobe-colored Lakers-themed head and armbands.
And it's like...
And the Celtics fans pretend to be cool with it, but they...
It's just...
The second he's gone, they are not going to be cool with it.
It also feels like something that was more acceptable when he was like 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
And now he's not 20 years old anymore. And it's kind of like... It's just weird. It's gone on too long, basically, I think. Like, I know it was his favorite player and he died tragically, but also it just... And also, it's always posted to social media as well. Mm-hmm. That's the key. It's very performative. It's weird. But anyway, there's one more thing about him.
Yeah, he has an insane tattoo on his calf that says life. And in the block letters of the words are scenes from his favorite movies.
Perfect.
And his favorite movies in the L is Denzel Washington from the movie John Q.
Okay, yep.
Hitch from Will Smith from Hitch having an allergic reaction with his puffy face.
Specifically Hitch with a puffy face. Will Smith actually reached out to him after that and was like, why?
Sydney Dean, of course, Wesley Snipes from White Men Can't Jump. That one's pretty normal.
Sure, sure.
And then Dash from The Incredibles, the fast little boy.
Yep.
That's his set of tattoos.
He also has a big tattoo across his back that says God's will, but it does not have an apostrophe, meaning it kind of looks like a polytheistic statement.
Yes. God's will. You know, they sure will.
Do you think he's the only person on Earth whose favorite movie is John Q?
Yeah, I could see Denzel reaching out to him and just being like,
have you seen any of my other movies?
Yeah, like because those would maybe instantly become your favorite.
You might just like movies more.
I guess John Q was a successful film, but maybe not really in the Denzel canon. I don't know.
Anyway, so interesting.
Denzel
guy,
might be at that
sure.
game too.
Yeah, Denzel will definitely be at that game. All right, then our second game, Sean, is Sixers Heat.
Sixers Heat starting at 5 p.m. That's an 8 p.m. local start for Miami, which is too early for 50% of Miami's fans and far too late for the other 50%. So they have, I guess the biggest storyline here is that the Heat's star player is Jimmy Butler, and he is basically taking revenge on Philadelphia for not re-signing him when he was a free agent in 2012. They traded for him mid-season, and then there's some dispute, but they basically chose another player over him, and he also overheard an executive asking if they could control him, and that was the point he decided he was going to go to Miami.
I would say the thing that Caitlin would like the most about Jimmy Butler, though, is for the second year in a row, he has shown up to media day with a fake haircut.
I just witnessed it. Is it a fabulous bob? Is he wearing a little sassy bob?
It's like it's an emo haircut. It's like a Fallout Boy emo haircut
this year.
It's got
the dramatic swoop.
And he's got fake.
I love it.
He's got fake eyebrow ring. Yeah. And then immediately gets rid of it. Last year, it was really, really long blonde braids.
Something he never had before.
Yeah. So they take all the photos and the pics. So when the ESPN will show, like, Jimmy Butler's stats on their Chiron, there's a photo of emo Jimmy Butler in the corner.
And then you see him and he has, fashionable haircut all season long. He also
I'm on board.
So yeah, it's
a lot
like
of weird things. Yeah.
It's like our friend John Ozalay, who dresses up for his driver's license photo, except Jimmy Butler every year.
Are you going to deny that you yourself did the same for your driver's license?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has done it heroically and throughout time, but yours ranks among my favorite photos ever taken. And if that wasn't deliberate, Sean, I'm concerned. But that I know that it was.
He gets like haircuts and dyes his hair and puts in jewelry. I just make
a for the uninitiated. Just the word Jono, J-O-N-O, driver's license will yield a fabulous result should you choose to Google it. I don't know, Sean, how widely yours is spread, but it is a fantastic. Imagine like a drunk teddy bear was asked to read a newspaper. That's kind of the face that you were serving.
The first time doing it, I was really going for possible DUI prevention.
Very wise.
In the picture, maybe. And I was kind of inspired by that Onion columnist, Jim Traphauer or something like that. This time I had to renew my license again this year. And the key is you have to just make the face the whole time you're at the DMV.
The whole time you're there. It's a commitment.
Because then they're like, well, I guess it's just his face. I can't stop that. But the problem was this year, I also had to take an eye test and my eyes really wide open and my hair looking crazy. I basically almost failed my eye test because I was trying to take a funny license photo. So we're on they've only been like truly ridiculous for the last three, but I'm like four funny photos.
Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy Butler does that.
Yeah. It's a real gift to bouncers. I would say.
He's also weirdly friends with Mark Wahlberg. He has the strangest musical taste in the NBA. He likes the band Nickelback unironically. He's a Michelob Ultra spokesman, and in those commercials he's always singing like Private Eyes by Hall & Oates.
Also, when he was in the bubble, he brought his own, he's a real like intense coffee guy, so he brought his own like espresso machine and equipment, and because he realized that coffee was bad, but also that players were constantly taking money out of ATMs, he made a coffee station in his hotel room called Big Face Coffee, and the sign insisted that everything cost $20, no change, no IOUs.
Yeah, yeah.
So he absolutely could have accepted a Venmo transaction, but he decided to exploit NBA players' lack of change and his room's proximity to an ATM.
Well, I mean, is it exploitation if they get coffee?
No, I mean,
no.
Was the coffee good? The per
diem was pretty big, so
apparently it was good.
No, that's what it was. Sorry, I'm sorry. It was the it was because of the denominations and everybody's per diem.
Yes.
That's why he did that. Yeah.
I am going to say that Jimmy Butler sounds most like the player I would like to hang out with.
Yes.
Everybody gets to pick their own. I'm going to pick Jimmy Butler. It's the nails, it's the hair, it's all of it. Yeah. Let's drink coffee and dish.
Yeah, he's like a crazy coffee guy and a crazy wine guy now, too. Okay, so, and he has a rivalry with the Sixers. He has been more successful than they have. Oh, also, Miami has a guy named Bam Adebayo. The main thing you have to learn about him is his name's Bam.
And he's really
good.
He's really big.
He's been Bam since he was like a baby. So that's his name.
Perfect.
Also, their owner, one of their owners and team presidents used to be the coach of the Lakers, used to be the coach of the Knicks. He's like an old man who still dresses like Michael Douglas from Wall Street.
Yeah, his name is Pat Riley. He was portrayed on Winning Time by Adrian Brody.
In a hilarious performance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I would say that he is the NBA figure most likely to be haunted by ghosts on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then Philadelphia, they have
The ghost of NBA Christmas present just have to make you watch games? Is that you guys? Are you the ghost of NBA Christmas present?
Okay, so the Sixers, their main guy is named Joel Embiid. He is a big center from Cameroon. Likes to do playful things. He does like wrestling celebrations. He used to be like a real troll on social media. It's kind of like not as funny anymore because now he's a star. The Sixers are known because for like twice in the last 3 years, they've had players just refuse to play for the team. And they like forced a trade months and months later. And that just happened to them.
Yeah. But they're good. They're also really good, for some reason.
They're good.
Even though players keep not wanting to play for them.
Is this about the team or is this just about Phoenix? And Phoenix, I'm not coming to you. You're one of the best cities in the country.
Philadelphia.
Sorry.
Maybe they're not built for it. They're built for
Okay, Saints. Honestly, question stands.
There's a certain loser to them, though, that a loser stink. I think that's more what it has to do with it. Mm-hmm. Even though Joel Embiid is really good. And, like, won the MVP last year. He always flames out in the playoffs really hard.
They haven't made it out of the second round yet, despite his excellence. And they got a new coach. Their new coach is the NBA's only acoustic guitar guy coach.
And, as in, brings it to games or practices.
Brings it to games, brings it on the road.
The team playing, definitely. He always has his guitar on his shoulder. When there's photos of him going on the team plane.
And one more thing. Yeah, the Sixers have an exciting young player. Their second best player is named Tyrese Maxey, which would be a Fast and the Furious name if there weren't already an actor named Tyrese. But that's like the guy they'd add to the crew.
But we have to get his Jetta back before his dad gets out of jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for Sixers at Heat. I would say.
Yeah.
Our final game, Sean, what is it?
It is the Phoenix Suns at the Dallas Mavericks. This game is starting at 7:30 Pacific. This is the game you fall asleep to, especially if you are on the East Coast. I cannot imagine watching this game, which could be pretty exciting, but at 10:30 on Christmas, I feel like that is a divorce waiting to happen. Even though I'm only engaged, I could... Thankfully, if it's on at 7:30, it's, you know, that's just normal stuff. I will probably not be watching this game, but I probably will be writing about it based on things I see on Twitter. These teams.
Honestly, enjoying looking this refreshing, Sean.
These teams have a playoff rivalry because the Mavericks surprisingly beat them in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Except none of the players are the same.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is that the Suns literally have turned. They went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago and won two games. Won the first two games of the series, in fact. So they came close to winning the title. And 2 years later, there is one player still remaining on that team. And they've just been shuffling the players. They have Kevin Durant playing for the NBA team, former Warrior.
Very good. He's older than me. He's not. I'm old, but he feels like he's been around.
He's pretty old for an NBA player. Yeah, he's so he joined this team, and they also Kevin Durant, you don't really need that much explanation for. Devin Booker, could you explain
how long, if from a truly I don't know this perspective, how long is an average NBA career?
I would say average, if you're really
just
good,
5, 10, 15.
It's more like 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good player.
But I would say it's based on Durant, Curry, and LeBron and Chris Paul. It feels like we're in an era of old guys playing for a really long time and still being really, really good.
So, like, for example, how old was Larry Bird when he stopped playing?
It seems like outside of golf, NBA has a surprising retention rate where a good career can last longer. Maybe football careers last longer than I think, or hockey careers as well, but...
Basically,
it is surprising as a repeat guest to be like, oh, yeah, them.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Jordan was 40 when he played for the Wizards.
But essentially, to have a long career, it really helps to be very tall because you're sort of like, and people always say that if you're like a 3-point shooter, your career can last longer. But really, if you were an extremely good athlete when you were 22, you have a better chance of playing a long time just because you have like more runway for your decline, basically. Then you know, like, you'll see old point guards because they don't have to be as tall and fast because they're more crafty. But if you're say Kevin Durant has now gotten to the point where he's probably a power forward rather than a small forward, but he also is extremely tall, and but he's also been getting hurt a ton the last 4 years. So it's come, but he's still very good. Their other star is named Devin Booker. He's like the most Gen Y player in the NBA, probably.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Well, I don't know if that's true anymore. He certainly was.
He dated Kendall Jenner for a while. He once injured his wrist, probably because he was
riding a bicycle with no hands.
And going live on Instagram.
It was on Snapchat.
On Snapchat, I'm sorry. He's been in the league forever, but he's still only just turned 27.
Yeah,
this is like his ninth year in the league.
He has a baby face.
No, I guess he looks, it's his eighth year in the league. Yeah,
he looks incredibly young, but also his voice does not match his face. He has a very deep voice and a very childish face. He's really good. My favorite
was in the NBA. Yeah.
My favorite thing he ever did was when the NBA, the season post COVID. When they were playing games, but there were no fans there. He had the Toronto Raptor ejected from the arena for trying to distract him while he was shooting free throws.
Love it.
Yeah. And he when he was younger, I still kind of don't think this was his fault, but older players were constantly trying to fight him.
Yeah, and it used to like be that they.
He's not like a super physical player. I think there's just like something about his face is annoying, and but he also really backs it up and does not really seem to be. I don't know. I think it was
his
like
face is annoying. I will say that. Yeah.
So the Suns this year have tried to form an all-star team with him and a guy named Bradley Beal, who has basically been hurt all season. Devin Booker's been hurt most of the season, and then they added a player in some of their many transactions, a player named Grayson Allen, who basically looks exactly like Ted Cruz and plays the way you would expect Ted Cruz to play.
Yeah, like constantly trying to injure people on purpose.
Yeah, he got, when he went to Duke, of course. And he got suspended because he wouldn't stop tripping people.
Yeah.
And he always looks like hurt a little bit. He's like, come on, where's my order? You know, like it's a real like, I'm gonna have your job face. But he's like just good enough that he gets to play, but it's always like these teams that are loaded at other positions and grudgingly play him, and the whole time they're just kind of like, we take this, like, can't we do better than this? And now he's on like his fourth team where they've just decided they need to do a little bit better than
And so the Suns are playing the Dallas Mavericks, who have a couple of people you might know. First off, they're owned by Shark Tank's Mark Cuban normally, but he just sold them to Sean.
Really?
Yeah, Sean.
Was it that FTX issue? Did he lose a little of the...
It sort of seems like it, yeah.
It's a little bit scammier than that, yeah, I believe. So you're familiar with Sheldon Adelson, Caitlin?
I'm not.
So he is a big casino. Well, he was. He is dead now. But he.
Okay. Yes. Not in basketball. Okay. Yes.
He owns, like, I think the Sands Casino Group. Yeah. So he has a casino in Macau.
Honestly, if you were trying to grab him as a basketball player, it's very funny to picture him being a basketball player.
He looked like the oldest man in the world before he passed. Republican mega donor, Trump mega donor. I think at one point tried to intentionally devalue the Chinese currency to help his one casino. So anyway, in context, I am aware of this super villain.
Yes, yes.
So his family bought a majority stake in the team.
Anyway, yeah, that's who.
Apparently, the scam is to spend millions of dollars on bribes to get Texas to legalize gambling and then build a new arena that also has a casino in it. And that's Mark Cuban's long-term Shark Tank play. But I think selling the team
to the Adelson family,
yeah. And I just think that Mark Cuban, while definitely rich, most of his wealth is in the Mavericks and now in his pocket and I guess like casino futures.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't think a lot of his in like business investments did all that well. So, and the Suns have a new owner and he is a young man from Detroit who has his own casino, which is called the Mortgage Market. He's a weird mortgage brokerage. There's no reason his company is valued that high. It's like a weird IPO scam that might tumble at any time, which is why the Suns have basically traded all their future first round picks. All their future picks in general, because I think he might know it's all going to come crashing down.
Anyway, let's talk about the Mavericks.
Who could go wrong investing in mortgages? When has that ever gone wrong in American history? Big blocks of mortgages. All right.
The Mavericks have a doughy European man who's their best player named Luka Doncic.
Yep.
He recently got married to a girl he's known since he was 11 in Slovenia.
Cute.
He probably is maybe, I think he's maybe the NBA's only remaining like regular cigarette smoker. I think he might have quit, but I think there's just been a lot of stories about people like seeing him smoking cigs.
Yeah. Ripping cigs.
He's more European than Jokic.
Gotta love it though. I mean, a ciggy's great for a break, and if nobody else in the NBA smokes, you're like the one dude who gets to walk a half a mile to step outside of an arena for 7 minutes. It's gotta feel great. Is there a better cigarette than that? I'm gonna say it's a good one.
And he's really, really good, and he cannot stop himself from just constantly arguing with the referees all the time, to the point where he like won't run back on defense because he's complaining about being fouled or being called for a foul. Or
so, yeah, keep an eye out for the white guy yelling at the refs. Pretty cool.
He also always has a beard, generally speaking.
Yeah. His look is very like, I took a nap until 5 minutes before this game.
Yeah. And then his teammate is, of course, Kyrie Irving, who you might remember Indeed. From being anti-vax, flat earther.
Anti-circumnavigation.
Yeah. Also...
not a heliocentrist.
Some questions about dinosaurs, if I recall correctly.
Also, yep. Last year got in trouble for being a Holocaust denier. Yeah, he's like basically he's just asking questions, you know. He's that
I'm gonna
college
say the
guy.
Internet is a net positive, but it does have problems.
I mean, the thing with Kyrie is he feels like the really dumb guy on your dorm floor who just watched Loose Change. That's
the thing. There's so much unfettered access to stupid information that it just catches the right eye, and suddenly circumnavigation isn't real.
He's been very quiet this year, when shockingly so, I would say.
I mean, I read this book called The Chaos Machine this year, which is just about basically YouTube and Facebook sending people into conspiracy holes like on purpose. And reading that, I'm like, oh, I completely understand, like, because there's a certain set of beliefs that end up going together because that's the video they serve you. So like, even if you're searching for like places to get a vaccine, suddenly you get the anti-vaxxer video. And then like they were saying something like almost all of those hot button videos are like three videos away from a Jordan Peterson collection.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's going to start talking about like myths and masculinity or drinking his own blood or
cleaning
whatever.
Cleaning his own room. Cleaning his room. So I would say that's it. Caitlin, based on what you learned today, which team are you most excited to watch this Christmas?
I mean, I'm going to say I'm going to get up early, and I want to give the early games a chance. Who's scrolling back to the list of NBA games? Not me. I definitely had that ready. Bucks-Knicks is very intriguing because it just seems like we might start out more fun than predicted. Yeah, I think you know, you might try to save your best for last, but you also have to have a strong opener. So I'm going to give some credit there. I feel like Warriors and Nuggets, there's some games you're not going to need help selling the room on. Everyone is aware that Warriors and Nuggets are basketball teams that you might like to watch play. Also, the like Celtics and Lakers, like doesn't take as hard to sell, I think. So I'm going to say it would take some convincing for me to stay up to watch the Mavericks and the Suns, and you just did a pretty good job. I am intrigued by both the Mavericks and the Suns. I want to see a small white man yell at the referee.
And you're definitely intrigued by your new friend Jimmy Butler, who you learned a lot
about. I'm deeply
about
intrigued by
Miami
Jimmy
Heat.
Butler.
Yeah.
Though my knowledge of basketball remains nothing year to year, I am intrigued by the personalities, and I grow fond. So I wish nothing but the best for Jimmy Butler. I also apologize for last year not understanding that Mark Cuban is evil and only knowing that sometimes he sells cheap prescription drugs. I'm once again ready to engage in a Christmas season of basketball, and thank you to all basketball fans for engaging with us at this time of year. We are interested in your hobby. Please let us in your world.
Caitlin, is there anything you'd like to plug? That's our episode.
I see GuaranteeShirts.com still up if you want to grab a tee, or I am also yelling in the desert. If you find yourself near Joshua Tree, I will yell exclusively about space. Skywatcher.com.
Awesome.
I don't speak for Skywatcher.
Yeah, these tweets, these opinions on European basketball players are not going to stand with this.
Okay. Anyway. Sean, what would you like to plug?
I check out Giants Baseball Insider. You can watch me with AJ Brzezinski on the internet now. Also read Golden State of Mind. You can read me at Yard Barker. And you know, I keep hyping these shows, but it's the next thing I have. So they're pretty much all sold out, but I'll be at the Sacramento Punchline featuring for Shang Wang Between January 3rd and January 7th. They've added so many shows that I will be in Sacramento a long time. So if you're up there, just
I would come. I would drive across the state to see that show.
It's
if the show,
really
if you
good.
Are in Sacramento, listeners, and you see a show get added and you can get tickets, go to that show.
Yeah, I think you can That's still get tickets really for Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe the late Wednesday. I've never had five shows added to a week after I got that before. So.
And then follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/roundrockpod. The first episode of Fists Like Thanksgiving Turkeys, our Jack Reacher pod, should be up by the time you're listening to this. I also have a show about how much do the Warriors suck. There's a new Round Book Rock coming, and then Sean also, again, listen to the Smartless podcast for reasons we don't understand.
I can't stop.
So a lot of Patreons coming up. You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 23 hours ago I tweeted, you know when you find a product that seems too good to be true, but you try it and it changes your life? That's me with @Arena Barefoot Shoes. I finally have relief from foot pain. I'm obsessed with them and just wanted to share them with y'all. Yeah, yeah. He just wanted to share. I'm sure he was not paid for that tweet. Sean,
I'm glad Frankie's feet feel better.
Yeah, Sean, did you write a song?
Yeah, I have a Christmas carol this year, and it's about one of our favorites here on the show. It's called "Have Yourself a Berry Little Christmas." Come on, people!
Come on,
listen
people.
To the song.
All right, trust the process.
Trust the process.
And, shut it down. We'll have an episode up next week with Tom. We might be putting Reacher up back to back, though. I think we might skip next episode 2 for Reacher next week because I don't want to travel with my microphone because that's how my last one broke. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. We love you very, very much. Shut it down.
Always
let's
a
all,
pleasure.
Let's all leave cookies out for Santa Claus.
Happy holidays.
Have yourself a berry little Christmas. Let your shorts be short. Shooting free throws overhand will ruin our sport. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your rage erupt. Scream at your TV about the NBA Cup. I jumped leagues for the ABA. My hair went away, a wig I wore. In my career, I was a dick to all. Now I play pickleball near the shore. In 76, I quit during the playoffs and refused to shoot. Don't you think Mike Riordan's a total brute? So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Hey, 1 second, come on, people. You're the greatest fans in the world. Joe Lacob, I've talked to a bit. Show a little bit of class. Come on now, you're doing yourselves a disservice. Don't be an angry mob. Give this former star a good broadcasting job and have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now,
seriously, people, he's been a successful coach in the Big Three. Come on.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.